liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go, all suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all char together when we char, and let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, where I'm delighted to be joined again today by Danny Cirrus. During the event, for those of you who listen, Russ Winter raised a number of questions about what happened in Waukesha, whether there's any possibility it might have been staged. I was pretty disenchanted with that idea, but I resolved to go back and take another look. Danny and I, after the first segment, will be addressing these questions, and I have some videos lined up. You won't be able to see them over the radio, of course, but if you check out my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer, you'll be able to watch a show with the videos and see exactly what we're talking about. Meanwhile, events in Waukesha have generated a lot of controversy because the media is downplaying what happened here. I begin, therefore, with a very thoughtful piece by Damian Wilson. The Waukesha massacre is not a crash, and there's nothing accidental about it, with which I agree 100%. The idea that the murderous rampage that left six dead when career criminal Daryl Brooks plowed through a holiday crowd in his SUV was accidental shows just how twisted and self-serving the world of woke has become. Across the mainstream media, the incident in Waukesha that left dozens more injured after sex offender Brooks drove through the parade is referred to as a crash. It wasn't a crash. It was a massacre. And if you take into account the content of Brooks' social media account, his admiration of Hitler, his loathing of white folk, Jews, and even fellow blacks, you'd be on safe ground calling it a domestic terror attack. Deborah Messing has actually tweeted about it. She's a well-known left-wing actress, but who isn't being played here. Dear mainstream media, a man intentionally drove his car through a parade, killing six and injuring 50 plus. It was not an accident. call it by its name, hashtag Waukesha Massacre. And it was a domestic terror attack. Don't minimize, please, which I think is very good. I'm going to show here for the first time a video of what happened as it was recorded by a drone. Here we have the SUV approaching the crowd. I'll describe what happens. Rushes up, takes out band members, several swerves, bump, 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 driving over people. You see the car bump in the road multiple times, then drives off into the distance, creating an uproar and turmoil. I'm going to play that once more. Car comes, takes out band members, swerves into the crowd, bump, 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 driving over bodies, swerves through, goes on, takes off, creating chaos and turmoil. Now, I got to say that in my opinion, what we have there looks absolutely authentic. So it's going to be fascinating where during the next segment we talk about whether this could have been faked or staged. Meanwhile, so why the cop-out? Why is the mainstream insisting on portraying a calculated and cold-blooded attack on an unsuspecting parade of regular people out enjoying themselves as some sort of accident? The slaughter was as accidental as a 2016 attack along the Promenade des Anglais in Nice, France, which left 86 dead and 458 injured after Islamic extremist Mohamed Louhouge Brouel drove a 19-ton lorry into Bastille Day revelers. It was much an accident as Islamic terrorist Khalid Massoud driving his hire car into pedestrians on London's Westminster Bridge in 2017, killing 6 and injuring 50 more, or Tunisian jihadist Anas Amri mowing down shoppers at Berlin Christmas Market in 2016, killing 12 and leaving 49 injured. Now, to me, there's great irony, by the way, in citing these cases, because I've done interviews with Nick Kohlerstrom, for example, and with Ole Domegaard about the Nice, France, about the Berlin Christmas. Those were definitely staged attacks. There's no question about it. Westminster Bridge, Nick Kohlerstrom, definitely a staged attack. There was also an event in Manchester, an Ariel Grande event that was clearly also staged. Nick has a book, Chronicles of False Flag Terror, A European Perspective, where he goes through 13 different stage phony attacks in Europe, which is available at moonrockbooks.com. So let me say, the slaughter was as accidental as, or as much of an accident as, if you know more, then you could interpret this as meaning it was staged, like those events were staged. However, that is not my opinion, and we are going to invite Danny to review the kinds of issues Russ was raising at the break. He continues, in all these cases, the lorries, cars, and even SUVs have been used as lethal weapons aimed at innocent civilians with more than 100 people murdered. So why is everyone so timid about labeling Brooks as a terrorist? Even the most cursory glance at this nutjob social media shows a man angry at everyone, black, white, Jewish, capitalist, the police, you name them, Brooks hates them. So much so that it's quite easy to conclude that the collection of memes, smartphone raps, and rap videos starring himself amount to the expression of a political stance or a deeply held conviction, even though it's hard to extract exactly what the 39-year-old career criminal is railing about. I mean, here's a black man who expresses admiration for Adolf Hitler. Maybe a clue is in the all-powerful narrative that surrounds race in the USA. To call a black man who has clearly struggled to engage with the rest of society in any meaningful way for nearly 40 years a terrorist is to deny him victimhood, that even as an active member of the criminal underclass, he is afforded by the proponents of critical theory on race. That's right, remember. According to critical race theory, the world, the United States especially, is divided into the oppressors and the oppressed, and the oppressed are everyone who is non-white, and the oppressor is everyone who's white. It's simple, cartoonish, obviously grossly removed from reality, where we have plenty of good guys and bad guys, I mean, all the races. But critical race theory is intended to simplify it, to appeal to the lowest common denominator as a form of propaganda, vicious, racist, anti-white propaganda. Continuing. To some, Brooks is the victim here. So they'll just call this unfortunate incident in Waukesha a crash, a mistake, an accident, because after all, Brooks was allegedly simply fleeing from a scene of domestic violence, albeit as the aggressor, before inadvertently driving through the middle of a holiday parade. Someone in this socioeconomic mire deserves a break, don't they? And I agree, we've had those explanations offered, and they're simply ridiculous. Fleeing the scene of a domestic violence doesn't motivate you to drive through police barricades and into a massive crowd during a parade in the middle of the street, especially when he's the aggressor. And no doubt, as we shall observe, he was out on a $1,000 bail for guess what offense, having run over his girlfriend with his SUV. This is the idiotic progressive thinking that can inform reports about an incident such as Waukesha, tiptoeing through the language minefield lest a class of people identified by a shared race, gender, or socioeconomic category take umbrage, so that reality is grossly distorted, the truth buried beneath a steaming pile of political correctness. I love that. The truth buried beneath a steaming pile of political correctness. It's a sort of cluelessness that has led so-called criminal experts in California, I know, suggest that the media and law enforcement stop using the term looting to describe a recent spate of brazen smash and grab raids on luxury stores in the state because somehow the term is racist and intentionally politicizes the crimes. I don't know. It just seems like the wrong word in this case, because looting is usually the term applied in cases where a state of emergency exists, and that is not so here. But who am I to step in the middle of a nonsense argument? That's how easy it is to offend when you're not up to date with the nuances of the English language as it is misunderstood in woke USA. But like so many modern debates, whoever sets the terms of engagement in the language that's used to define an argument is usually the winner. It just so happens that the losers in Waukesha are not a bunch of entitled, self-absorbed West Coast academics. They are six innocent people whose lives were cut short by a murderous lunatic in an attack that most certainly was no crash. The state otherwise denies the dead and those they leave behind the justice they deserve. 100% accurate, in my opinion. You can find that on my blog at jamesfetzer.org. Meanwhile, only 36% believe Kyle Rittenhouse media coverage was fair. In the latest polling from Rasmussen, only 36% of respondents believe the media coverage of Kyle Rittenhouse was fair. Rittenhouse, who faced life for shooting and killing two white scumbags and wounding a third who was also white, was found not guilty by Kenosha, Wisconsin jury last week. There are all kinds of videos of the altercation, which prove beyond any doubt Rittenhouse was an innocent victim in legitimate fear for his own life when these white depraved scumbags attacked him, one with a gun. And bear in mind, while Rosenbaum was attacking him with his bare hands, it turns out most murders in America are done with bare hands, beating or strangling persons to death. And in addition, the overwhelming majority of gun deaths are done with handguns, not with rifles, which are relatively rare. When 1,000 likely voters were asked how fair was media coverage of the Rittenhouse trial, only 14% very fair, 22% somewhat fair. That's 36%. Meanwhile, a clear plurality of 47% said the coverage was not very fair, 19%, and not fair at all, 28%. 18 had no opinion. Here's an even more stunning number. Only 15% said the coverage was biased in favor of Rittenhouse. 23% said neutral. Another 47% said it was biased against Rittenhouse. In their disgraceful and disgracefully dishonest coverage of this story, the corporate media did not even try to hide its two primary goals. One, lynch Rittenhouse with an unjust life sentence. And two, if Rittenhouse were acquitted, incite riots in Democrat-run cities. There's some bizarre stuff on RSN, reader-supported news, a left-wing site, suggesting Kyle has set off a QAnon civil war. This is pretty bizarre. Kyle Rittenhouse comments about his former lawyer, that would be L. Lynn Wood, a top leader in the QAnon world, has unleashed a toxic battle within the conspiracy movement. Now, let me say, what's going on here? This is clearly an effort to change the subject from Kyle Rittenhouse having been found not guilty, having acted in self-defense. They want to find a spin that can somehow make it negative for law-abiding citizens, conservatives, Trump supporters, and the like. That is their mission. So here they're attempting to distract. I'll read just a bit about it. While most Americans are prepared to have a nice day with their families on Thanksgiving, pro-Trump lawyer Lynn Wood is spending the holiday on Telegram complaining about his children sparking a civil war in the QAnon world. The QAnon world, of course, in my opinion, is a bit of a figment, appears now to have been a psyop, a distraction operation. Wood, who said Thursday his children would once again not be spending Thanksgiving with him, has spent the last 3 days in an increasingly toxic battle on the encrypted messaging app where Woods has blasted his critics and praised his defender. The spat began when Kyle Rittenhouse publicly accused him of taking advantage, consuming the QAnon world, sucking in almost every major figure in the Q universe, talking about Michael Flynn, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Mike Lindell, and right-wing talking head Dan Bongino. Clearly, you see, this is an attempt to somehow smear them all. QAnon followers, who had until now almost universally seen L. Lynn Wood as a leading figure within the movement, have been divided, unsure whether to continue to follow Wood or turn their backs on him. The whole idea here, in my opinion, is attempting to create more diversity on the right. It's not going to succeed. The controversy began, as many do these days, with Tucker Carlson. The increasingly far-right adjacent Fox News host secured the first interview with Rittenhouse after he was acquitted of all charges in the killing of two and wounding of another with an assault rifle during a protest in Kenosha. Remember, it's not an assault rifle because it's not fully automatic. And notice how he leaves out the fact that these guys were all white, that they were all criminals, and they were all trying to kill Kyle. They leave that out. How convenient. They also go after Tucker, who's been doing a brilliant job reviewing these matters. Meanwhile, liberals pounce on Andy Ngo for posting inconvenient facts on the suspect in the Waukesha car plowing massacre. Sorry, not sorry for reporting on who Daryl Brooks is, no, tweeted in response to liberal attacks, including one from Daily Beast reporter Robert Silverman. You begin to get the idea. Independent journalist Andy Ngo is routinely subjected to harassment, hate, sometimes even brutality from the radical left because he's unafraid to report on the inconvenient truths about violent Antifa and Black Lives Matter mobs that frequently go unreported by the mainstream, which views both groups as selfless heroes committed to advancing democracy or whatever, despite the reality being precisely the opposite, as per the norm. The left has once again shown their true colors in the aftermath of the deadly Waukesha car plowing attack Sunday that left 6 dead and at least 48 injured. They use the horrific attack to mock the Kyle Rittenhouse not guilty verdict and use it to attack Ngo for having the audacity to give people disturbing background on the subject in the case Daryl E. Brooks Jr. Before we get to the latest round, let's look at what reported about Brooks, courtesy of a Twitter thread. And by the way, all the tweets will open up. If you go to my blog, you can open it up. Here's one. the man in custody over the mass casualty incident Waukesha has posted on his social. I'm only reading part of them. Daryl Edward Brooks, a man taken into mass custody, was released from jail just 3 days ago after paying a small bail over multiple open felony and misdemeanor charges. Brooks has a long, violent criminal history spanning multiple states. Another Christmas parade massacre suspect Daryl Edward Brooks posted about knocking white people out, including the elderly. He also expressed apparent frustration over the Rittenhouse verdict. Daryl Brooks, a suspect accused of running over children, grandmothers, and others at Christmas parade in Waukesha, has a violent criminal history that includes battery and domestic abuse. In almost all of his interaction with police, he resisted arrest, according to records. Nose Twigger thread triggered Daily Beast reporter Robert Silverman, who has blocked me for some reason, but whose tweets I'm still able to view from another account. This was the start of a multi-tweet thread yesterday of Silverman condemning No for alerting readers as to possible racist motivation behind Twit's alleged action. Robert Silverman, if you're seeing some lunacy about a person of interest who was detained regarding Waukesha, here's a brief window into how the right-wing disinfo machine works. It starts with Andy No, of course. And then after a Fox-fended Silverman accuses No of being an opportunistically dishonest reporter, a characteristic rumored to be a requirement to work at certain supposedly respectable mainstream outlets, so I hear, he contacted No to try and get him to answer questions about the Twitter threads he wrote on Brooks. No smartly declined while noting Silverman has a history of targeting him. I don't want to speak to you, and I stand by my reporting. Instead of writing about my post, how about you expose the view Daryl Brooks espoused and the progressive policies that allowed a violent career criminal and child sex offender to allegedly mow down more than 50 people? There's a lot there. Meanwhile, Andy, author of the New York Times bestseller En Masse, editor at large, Telegram, support my journalism En Masse, inside Antifa's radical plan to destroy democracy by Andy No. Very good. Meanwhile, independent journalism is paramount because the corporate and mainstream press is compromised. Follow my work and support me. No had a share of defenders as well, including those who turned around and mocked the Daily Beast skewed priorities. Jim Treacher, if you're seeing some lunacy about Andy No being a bad guy, here's the idiot who's making excuses for a man who just ran over dozens of kids and grannies. Cyber Pant, replying to Andy No. To his credit, No isn't backing down, alerting readers on his locals page about Silverman's report as well as his reporting about Brooks. Daily Beast reporter Bob Saeta wrote a hit piece on me for screenshotting posts by the Waukesha massacre suspect before his accounts were deactivated. Sorry, not sorry for reporting on who Daryl Brooks is. Several added, keep up the great work. I loved your book, Andy. Thank you for your dedication to America. I agree with everything that Andy No is doing here. Meanwhile, we have the police warning of more mass robbery attempts after looters ransacked a Walnut Creek Nordstrom. This, again, is a result of Democrat policies and liberal progressive DAs financed by George Soros, who don't want to prosecute shoplifting up to $950 in value. Well, how many times can you shoplift for $950 until we get up to real money here, right? I mean, this is insane. Looting is going wild. Walnut Creek. Dozens of looters swarmed into the Nordstrom store in downtown Walnut Creek Saturday night, terrorizing shoppers, assaulting employees, ripping off bag loads of merchandise, ransacking shelves before fleeing in several vehicles waiting for them on the street. Walnut Creek police investigators are in the process of reviewing surveillance footage to attempt to identify other suspects responsible for this brazen act. Police began receiving calls from Nordstrom employees about the looting at around 9 p.m. He said there were about 80 individuals ran into the store, began looting and smashing shelves. On Saturday evening, a large coordinated group of individuals entered our Walnut Creek store and began looting, Nordstrom officials said. Thankfully, nobody was seriously injured. Five employees who sustained minor injuries have been treated and released. The safety of our employees and customers is our top priority. Video shot at the scene shows the mass looters streaming out of the store carrying bags and boxes, jumping into cars. Dozens of police responded. An 18-year-old Oakland man and two from San Francisco, aged 30 and 32, were taken into custody. One had a gun. The man was also charged with robbery, possession of stolen property, conspiracy to commit burglary, possession of burglary tools. The female was arrested for unlawful possession of a firearm. Stolen property from the looting and firearm was recovered from their vehicles. The police department is actively monitoring intelligence that indicates a group of thieves who stole from the Broadway Plaza Nordstrom last night are considering similar activity later today. I mean, I'm telling you. Meanwhile, and this is where we're heading if this continues, 9 bodies reportedly hanged by drug cartels. Believe me, when you defund the police, the gangs are going to take over. They're going to have their own territory, and they're going to enforce their own regimen of authority, including by hanging. Violent incidents are on the rise in Mexico. Gang disputes are likely to blame on November 18th. Local officials in Zacatecas found 9 bodies hanging from a bridge. The state government of Cuauhtemoc municipality confirmed a 10th dead body not far away, all suspected victims of a narco war between two fueling cartels. Family members are calling for more security in the town. Some residents say the violence is so bad they're afraid to leave the house at night because of all the loud noise and yelling. This is what may be coming to you. The grisly discovery wasn't the first hanging in the region, just 37 miles away in the city of Fresnillo. Police found 3 more bodies swinging from a bridge. To help secure tourist areas like Cancun, President Lopez Obrador called on the National Guard to patrol the district and address gang violence. With a crisis at the border and overwhelming Border Patrol agents shouldering responsibility of catching everyone trying to cross illegally, the Biden administration is their hands full back with dangerous.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? and that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Danny, I'm so glad to have you back again today. While I believe these events were real with regard to Waukesha and, of course, Kyle in his situation, they contradict the Democrat theme, their platform, in several ways, especially by creating the division between blacks and whites, the oppressed, the oppressors, that blacks are always victims. Here you had, they're promoting the idea of whites killing blacks. It turns out, statistically, that's highly abnormal, that 10 times as many blacks kill whites, or whites kill whites, as whites kill blacks, and indeed 55 times more blacks kill blacks. That's overwhelmingly the pattern in the United States. So I believe the mainstream, which at this point is an instrument of the Democratic Party, is trying to distort what happened, publicizing so much false information about the Rittenhouse case, even implying that he'd actually shot three black guys, which may or may not have affected this miscreant Brooks, who is a BLM member, an activist, and with a long criminal history. But for a black guy who's a BLM supporter to mow down a parade of a white American celebrating Christmas, Danny, that is catastrophic for the Democrat campaign position. So I think that's why they're just tearing their hair out at the roots to try to figure out how to obfuscate and obscure it. Your thoughts?
Hello, sir. Good to be with you again. Yeah, it definitely is a kind of an interesting dilemma that's going on with this particular event, I'm going to call it. You know, it's interesting that it happened, or that they put it on to happen right after Kyle Rittenhouse gets found not guilty. It's just an interesting thing. The guy getting out of jail for, you know, they're saying $1,000 bail. Supposedly, they're saying there's an investigation to find out exactly how that happened. There's just a lot of things. But, you know, in the last few days, after examining all the video going over this event and, you know, the massacre that people are calling it, there's a lot of things to be seen. And I have a lot of skepticism now after looking at all the evidence, and I'm looking forward to discussing it with you today.
Wonderful, wonderful. Let me say, not to imply that Madisonians are particularly gullible, but I want to mention several letters to the editor about the Rittenhouse case. They wouldn't publish mine, no doubt because it was too balanced and objective and exonerated him on the grounds of self-defense. Here's one. Verdict shouldn't be celebrated. The verdict in the Kyle Rittenhouse case makes us all less safe as it sanctions vigilantism. Rittenhouse killed two people. He shouldn't have been there in the first place, certainly not with a gun. No one should be celebrating this outcome. Here's another. It is dangerous to demand justice. After a police officer shoots a black man in the back, fair-minded people gather demanding justice. A privileged white teenager comes in from another town carrying a gun. When three brave citizens attempt to disarm him, he kills two and maims one. The shooter pleads innocent, claiming fear for his life. He manipulates a judge and jury by sobbing a la Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. And why not? It worked then, and by God, it worked again. Harm someone, then play the victim. White people demanding justice for black people have historically risked becoming martyrs for the cause. If you stand for black people, you become black by proxy. Long live the freedom riders of the 1960s. So when another white man kills you, the legal system treats it as if you were black and therefore guilty. All the killer needs to do is state fear for his life. Even when the victim was only holding a phone or a candy bar, and the killer is good to go. Oh, America, land of the free, for entitled white people. One more. Justice weeps for Rittenhouse trial. I think Lady Justice is weeping for this country right now after viewing the Rittenhouse trial. I can't believe anyone can say with a straight face that had Rittenhouse been a black teenager carrying an AR-15 to a protest rally, that a cop would have thanked him for his help and tossed him a bottle of water. I don't think anyone believes that had a black teenager shot three people at the protest and then told a cop, I just shot someone, that cop would have let him walk away. Nor do I believe that those who donated hundreds of thousands of dollars to Rittenhouse legal defense would have donated had Rittenhouse been black. Finally, nobody thinks Fox News and other right-wing media would be hailing Rittenhouse as a hero had he been black. Lady Justice wears blinders over her eyes to say that justice is blind to the color, sex, creed, and political beliefs of defendants under the law, but sadly, that is clearly a myth. It's truly a sad day for all of us. Things are getting darker and darker in America. I think all three of those are purely propagandistic by people who are ignorant of the facts of the case and have an agenda, which is clearly very left-wing, when they're talking about a trial that occurred right here in Wisconsin and they still haven't any idea which end is up. I just want to add that, Danny, before we turn to what happened in Waukesha. Any thoughts?
Well, you know, I was telling you the other day, and I'll say it again, Dr. Fetzer, you know, my opinion on this Kyle Rittenhouse thing, this was just an attack on the Second Amendment, but more so it was an attack on self-defense. The left is working harder and harder all over the country, especially with these Democrat district attorneys, that you are no longer allowed to defend yourself. You can't defend yourself with a firearm. And they're also sending a message that you cannot defend yourself against anybody from the left, or especially if they're black. And I even gave you a couple of examples that if somebody's coming from the left to burn your house down, and as they're getting ready to light your house on fire, you shoot them, they're going to prosecute you. And they're going to tell you that you should have got out the back door and let them burn your house down. I mean, it's getting really bad out there. We're seeing the police, you know, stand down, allow crimes happening. We see what's going on in California. I mean, you know, we just scratched the surface on it. I mean, I'm seeing people of color getting away. I'm hearing now many reports in some of these inner cities where they're driving cars with no license plates. They don't have driver's licenses. I mean, there's just all kinds of nonsense that are going on that they're getting away with. I think people are getting really sick of this. This is all done to divide the public, get us fighting amongst each other, create as much chaos and racial tension as they possibly can ratchet up. I think the whole thing comes down to a psychological operation that they're just pulling on the American public.
Danny, I think those are all very astute and appropriate observations. It's society is maintained in a civilized state only by a very thin line, a blue line. It's called law enforcement and the police and the justice system. And when that's violated or vitiated, when it's destroyed, in essence, deliberately by a party that seeks to create district attorneys who refuse to enforce the law, who are extremely lenient, who allow criminals out, even out of jail, no matter whether they have served their sentence or how severe their crime, we are in jeopardy. And the Democrats have gone whole hog in this direction. Now, we do not want to allow ourselves to be played. And Russ Winter has published a piece on his blog called Winter Watch. Strange imagery from Waukesha parade SUV attack, which has now been updated. And he begins with a photograph showing some, equipment, blankets, backpacks, some folding chairs on the sidewalk there. But I also noticed, Danny, there's an upright can in the foreground. Russ is adding there's no evidence a vehicle came up on the sidewalk or clipped bollards. Here's another. Police have identified a suspect named Darley Brooks. He's a rapper in his late 30s, has a big rap sheet. He performs under the name Math Boy Fly, and his music uses violent anti-white rhetoric. The following image is from an alleged Facebook post by Brooks. Knock damn TF out, period. This is Shakalima Moffat's post. Wow. He's on a Nevada state sex offender database. For the record, I, Russ Winter, call it as I see it and don't pick racial sides on this type of event. Yes, there is a serious black criminality issue, but stage deceptions, if this is one, can be run against all manner of people. It's all part of the strategy of tension and problem reaction solution modus operandi. Brooks apparently has a 2019 YouTube video up for now, update, now removed, that actually features a red vehicle similar to the one spotted at the parade. Is someone in the stagecraft getting a good chuckle over this? And let me say, here I got a slide, one of the frames from it, and you can see the vehicle in the background as he's dancing. YouTube rap clip may show vehicle used in Wisconsin parade attack. Really? Here's the full Thug Life video, which features the vehicle throughout. Also note the Illuminati one-eyed calling card gestures and other imagery. And you can find it on Russ Winter's site, and it may or may not play. I guess I don't have it actually on my blog, but presenting it here. Here's a full Thug video, which features the vehicle throughout. Note the Illuminati one-eyed calling card gestures and other imagery. Next, Waukesha's local CBS affiliate TV station reports a vehicle in the assault was located backed into a driveway with a smashed front revealed for all to see. This strikes us as odd behavior for the perp. One might surmise he would instead seek to hide the vehicle, but no, this looks just too easy. We, Russ Winter, chalk this up as highly sketchy. And indeed, here we have photos of the vehicle backed in, so the smash is. I thought that was odd in the beginning, Danny. I would agree. Then we have the arrest of the Christmas parade attack suspect. He caught on a Ring cam. There was a crowd at the parade, so we'd expect to see some bystander footage of the event as it unfolded. Perhaps some CCTV footage from building security cameras or traffic cam footage is available as well. Here's where he comes up to the door and is caught in the doorbell cam, Danny. Shows him in front of a home before being arrested. He's going to ask for help to get a Lyft or an Uber ride.
Hey, I called an Uber, and I'm supposed to be waiting for it over here, but I don't know when it's coming. Can you call it for me, please? I'm homeless.
That is certainly very strange, Danny.
Bizarre.
This is the owner going out to talk to him. Then we'd also expect some, if not most of this, to be good, clear 2021 technology, not 1963 Dealey Plaza quality. Decide for yourself on the following clips. This video shows a red vehicle driving by at a pretty good clip. He doesn't hit anybody and just disappears out of camera range. Was this the actual experience of the real parade attendees? My opinion about that, Danny, was he didn't want to hit someone early because then it would create an excitement. The crowd would realize he was coming and get out of the way. So I don't find this particularly suspicious. The clips are especially odd. The second shows a vehicle about to enter the area of the parade marcher. He inexplicably veers to the left and slows down noticeably before seemingly striking the marchers. But par for the course, the clip stops before you see anybody actually hit. Instead, the impression is made, not real evidence. Classic black magic. If readers locate good quality video where anybody is actually hit by the red vehicle, please put it in comments and I'll update the post. Well, Danny, as I played it before, I'm going to play it again. I don't know why Russ didn't have this available to him. I'm surprised. But here you see the black SUV approaching, hitting members of the marching board, swerving to get more. You see the vehicle actually bumping over bodies. Watch again. Hits band, swerves over, hits more, bump, 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 goes through the parade, sprints off. Uproar, causing an uproar. Now, Danny, I got to tell you, that to me looked completely legit. What the hell happened here? Danny, can you hear?
Yep, we're doing good, sir.
Yeah, I don't know why I lost the PowerPoint. You go ahead, Danny, and just comment on that footage especially, because in my opinion, that footage is the most telling to authenticate that this event was real. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, the first time I watched that footage, I watched it several times, and I see it looks like the van actually runs over somebody, and then I see them get up immediately after they're ran over. I don't know if you noticed that, but it looks like two or three of them in the front actually do get up after the van goes over it. And I noticed the quality of the video appears to be a little bit grainy as he swerves through on the left side like that. And I was a little bit suspicious of that when I first saw it. But then when you look at all the other videos that go along that we have, or that he shows actually even in his blog, it just doesn't match up, sir. The crowd doesn't look right. There's a lot of stuff that we're going to go through that really doesn't add up at all as you start to put together all the pieces. And I'm not even so sure that video you played is 100% real. There actually could be some CGI in there. As a matter of fact, I'm starting to think that the more I look into this and the more I study these other videos and I see certain things, I also see things that I should be seeing that I don't see. And we're going to go over that as well.
Well, Danny, let me play it again and see if I see band members getting back up. Here comes. Over band member. Well, I do see someone who appears to have been run over getting up and someone else not getting up.
Yeah, I see that too, sir. I see that exact scene right there.
Meanwhile, here we have a compilation of pedestrians hit in the non-cartoon world at similar speeds. They often flip straight up, slightly to the side. Unless hit at high speed, they don't go far. You can see several get right back up after solid strikes. Also note, real people in some bad spots often can evade or take glancing, less serious blows. Humans have senses, and one is hearing. Are we to believe there wasn't screaming and a racket behind the marchers as a vehicle plowed through? Most people would not stand there like deer in a headlight while a slow-moving red vehicle mows down a parade line. That's ridiculous on its face. Well, Danny, Russ estimates it was going 25 miles an hour when it hit the crowd. It was earlier going, by my estimate, 40 miles an hour. Here's a compilation of Russian cars hitting pedestrians. This is pretty interesting. We'll watch and you'll see. Pedestrians flip up in the air. Ooh, yes. And then they get back up, see? Then they get back up. Here's another coming up. Hit back there. There are more and more of these. There's one. Hit by car. Falls down, gets back up. Pretty similar to what we saw with a... Here's a woman being hit by a car, sent flying in the air. She does not get back up. Here's another hitting a... Wow, boom. Wow. This guy gets back up. We got several of women here. Ooh, that was hit by a truck, Danny. He's not getting back up. Hit by a truck, which is much more massive. Here we have some more. Here's a woman with a child. Well, fortunately, they weren't hit. But here's this woman going out with her dog. Ooh, by a bus. Bad, Danny. Here's another, let's see. Oh, wow, flying through the air. Wow, wow. Wow. Here's a, that car swerved into her. Here's another hit. The bus tries to swerve and sideswipes. Here's another, let's see, going out there. That's just grazed by a car. Obviously, he can get back up. Here's someone else. Oh, just hit there, flap right in front of us, gets back up. We're on a country road now. Ooh, that looked like a wild hog that was hit by a car. Danny, here's another, someone at night getting smashed. I mean, hear more. Oh, this is terrible, yeah. Let me do just one or two more. Here's a woman at night. Ooh, look at the vehicles right on top of her, Danny. Yeah, that's bad. There's a woman and a child being hit. She's not doing well. She's not getting back up. Here's some more. Oh, that's from a side. That person got back up. That person got back up. Danny, there's more here, but that's certainly the idea. You can see some were able to recover and some weren't. Here's another of the scene afterward. This is returning to Russ Winter. You see a few people down. Strangely, they're not clustered or piled up as you might expect for 68 alleged casualties, 6 dead, 9 critical from a small SUV. They're on completely opposite sides of the street. Again, in the other videos, we don't see a vehicle traveling at high speed. The scene is very much like the Venado scenes at Nice, Barcelona, and Berlin, where the bodies were also positioned very strangely. And as I have observed, in those cases, those were staged events, about which I have no doubt. The crowd is much smaller than that seen in the tall buildings overhead video. Here you see someone walking through the crowd, Danny. I'm going to play this. Danny, I won't play more, but let me just add, there are a couple aspects of that bother me. It's like in Boston, like at Sandy Hook. It's Sandy Hook, no surge of EMTs into the building. Boston, no surge of EMTs. Sandy Hook, no ambulance called to take the little kids off to hospitals where they could be declared dead or alive. Boston bombing, no surge of ambulances. Similarly in Orlando, We had civilians just purportedly tossing bodies in the back of pickup trucks, as you well know. That's a violation of protocol, because that means they might be aggravating the injuries. So I do find those scenes to be suspicious. Meanwhile, let me just add, Russ Winter went on Operation Scopio with Daryl Wayne on the 27th. You can find it online, and made a lot of arguments that may have weight here. Danny, your further thoughts.
Well, sir, I have a lot of thoughts after going through that video and many other videos that are in his blog. One of the things on that last video, you can see that, to me, it appears like some crisis actors. You really don't see the bodies very well. I don't see any carnage. I also don't see any blood anywhere. If you look at that overhead video again that we analyzed, it appears that the van the SUV is running right over the top of people. We don't see anybody flying over the car off to the side or out to the distance, like the example video that you showed out of Russia. And boy, those are some tough people in Russia, man. Those people took some blows. There's no doubt about that. But the first video doesn't match what we're seeing there. The bodies are in this last video are kind of spread out on the wrong side of the street. We didn't see anybody. I also noticed, sir, that the lighting appears to be much different, which is very interesting. And I also noticed the building and the placements of the building seem different. So in other words, this last scene that you showed is some sort of cell phone footage. It's a lot clearer. It's not grainy like the first video was. But if you notice, when you go back and watch that video of the overhead video, the buildings on the side, when he first ran over what looked like a band member or whatever, the buildings don't match. It just seems like it's a different area of the street that was there when you watch them side by side, which I've done several times. So there's several anomalies going on in those two videos, sir.
Danny, we're about to hit the break, and we'll continue this, but I think your observations are fascinating. And, of course, the bump could have been created by, for example, putting down sandbags. I mean, if they had something that was going to simulate driving over bodies, and, I mean, I've already asserted that it looked to me to be completely authentic, it may I, too, have been played. I don't claim to be infallible, and this is one of the reasons why we're going back to take a look. We're at the break. We'll be right back from Danny Siris, looking at what did or did not happen in Waukesha, Wisconsin.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
That the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years
to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons, and the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, with my special featured guest once again, Danny Suris. We're taking a look at the Waukesha video. I think neither Danny nor I have any serious doubts about what happened in Kenosha with Kyle Rittenhouse, though I must add, it's very interesting that although they had a warrant to download the Grosskreutz cell phone, they did not do so. And I've had the suggestion offered, which I'm inclined to believe, that's because the Grosskreutz cell phone would have shown coordination with other of these actors at the other parties, and they were heading out deliberately to kill Kyle Rittenhouse to make it clear that if you try to stand up for yourself or act in self-defense, you're going to meet a very bad fate. So I will invite Danny for his further confirmation, but I believe there was something suspicious there. A detective reporting on this said he'd been on the job for 3 years, and it was the first time he'd ever seen a warrant that was not executed, that cannot be accidental. I've even heard the guess that this Grosskreutz could have been Mossad. Frankly, that would not surprise me, but I'm certainly not making that assertion absent further evidence. I also believe what's happening here in Waukesha is Danny and I review the bidding, where Russ Winter was perhaps extremely astute to note these anomalies. This may be a classic example of the exercise of rationality, where when you acquire additional evidence or alternative hypotheses, you may have to reject hypotheses you previously accepted, accept hypotheses you previously rejected, and leave others in suspense. Danny, certainly the anomalies we're talking about here give rise to serious, well-founded suspicion that we may have been played in Waukesha. Would you like me to go back to one or the other videos so you can make your points about the streets, the buildings not looking the same, the lighting different, your Your thoughts?
Yeah, if you want to go back to that last video where they're panning, the camera's panning across, and there appears to be some people working on the street. There's one there if you go frame by frame, which I don't think you'll be able to do. But I was able to do it on my computer, and you can see there's a woman there that actually turns her head and looks right at the camera when it comes by. It's almost like she's being cute.
Okay, here it is. Here it is. Here it is, Danny. I saw that woman there. Seems to look up at the camera. I saw that. I noticed we can't see the bodies, that the crowd is surrounding the bodies. I see that. I'm looking at the buildings, Danny. I'm looking at the buildings. Because you see, there's a big open parking lot there. Let me go back to the other footage. Here we go.
Sir,
yeah,
here's what I mean. This almost looks like, here's what I'm putting together on this, okay, if you can follow this. You know, a lot of these events, as we know, they shoot them over multiple days and they splice them together. Sir, we've covered a lot of different events, from George Floyd to Parkland to, you know, all kinds of different things. And they often do that, right? They'll shoot them over different time periods or even on different days. And what this is looking like, sir, this aftermath scene right here that we're watching,
yeah,
it almost looks, the lighting is different. It almost looks like this is a different day.
Yeah.
Or a different scene. And they spliced it in there.
Yeah.
And of course, when the emotion is going and they splice it all together, of course, you know, people get drawn into on the news saying, you know, this just happened. Nobody's going to put that together.
Right.
But when you analyze the video like we do, frame by frame, and talk about all the characters that we're seeing in here, I mean, it just doesn't add up. Let's back up. So the van comes down the street. He goes by that young child.
In the street. Right, right.
And he's going 40 miles an hour, 50, whatever. You know, you definitely can hear the engine. Sounds like he's getting on the freeway. Now, you're thinking, if his goal is to smash into a lot of people, what I'm thinking, sir, is why wouldn't he keep his foot to the floor and enter that next block at, you know, 70, 80 miles an hour? He didn't do that. He actually braked, and then he was over in the right-hand lane, and then he moved over to the left after he broke, and then he just kind of drove through the crowd at a very slow speed. He wasn't going the same speed as he was the block before. And I find that very, very suspicious right there. It kind of cuts off, all the videos cut off that shows him getting to that block. And then it's like, that's it. The video's edited.
Danny, let me play again this, what appears to be the mowing down the crowd. Here we go. Seems to be hitting. I'll play it once more. You might talk about the buildings, Danny, and
this looks like a different set of buildings to me, sir. I think some fun little open area, but it's not the same. The grass is not there. It's not the same.
Go ahead, Danny.
Yeah, it's not the same area, sir. If you look at it, you know, the buildings are different. You know, you have to do a side-by-side, but the buildings are different. There's different color buildings in there. And the placement of the bodies where he does all the running over of the initial people, they're not there. They're not showing up in the cell phone footage. To me, that footage with the sweeping camera footage that you just showed is in a different location than this is. And also the bodies are on the right side of the street. He wasn't going fast enough. And we also didn't see any bodies bouncing off of his car. What we see in the beginning is it appears that he's going over bodies. But we don't see anybody flying off to the left or the front. I mean, we saw what happens in that other video that you showed. We saw how bodies will go flying through the air.
Right.
And bouncing around. We didn't see any of that going on here.
Right. You're right, Danny. You're right.
We don't see any blood anywhere. You know, sir, there's some hokery going on here. And you know what? Things aren't adding up. I don't see any blood on the ground whatsoever.
Yeah, I'm going to try to stop it.
Watch her look up here. Pause it. Pause.
Yep.
There she goes. See, like on cue, she just looks right up at the camera. I find that to be very interesting if she's trying to save somebody's life or whatever, that she happens to look up at the camera at the exact moment that the camera sweeps by. I mean, how does she know somebody's sweeping by with a cell phone camera filming her at that? And you notice the person on the left of her also looks up at the same time. So what is it that's getting their attention at that exact moment when the camera comes by? I don't think those people would be astute enough to be paying attention to somebody with a cell phone camera as they were walking by.
And Danny, I think it's very telling you cannot see the bodies. I mean, this is very, very peculiar. And are these people EMT trained? I mean, normally you don't want to mess with a body because you might aggravate the injury. So you wait for the pros.
They also don't have a trauma bag. They don't have any instruments. And, you know, as all these videos went on, sir, another thing that really bothered me, we might be jumping the gun because there's other videos to analyze, is I don't see any EMTs or paramedics and any ambulances on the ground working. Now, what we should see, sir, is we should see paramedics performing life-saving procedures. We should be, you know, seeing IVs being started, stabilizing. We should see them with their trauma bag, it's called, that they have there, their emergency bags next to them. And we should see a gurney's laying on the ground. We should see some medical people doing what we see medical people doing at a scene. And I've been at many different scenes in law enforcement where, you know, it's, you see that, there's the bag, here comes the boys, you know what I mean? And they have their equipment, and they're doing their thing. First thing they're doing is they're cutting clothes off, right?
Yes.
Not, you know, taking people's clothes off. They have to cut them off. You ever look at a paramedic, he always has a special pouch on the side of his belt or a sheath with a special pair of scissors. And those are razor sharp scissors for cutting off clothing. That's what they use those for. And we don't see any of the normal activity at all. All we see is this aftermath that appears to be in a different location, okay, than the other. There's a lot less people also in the scene than there is in that CGI, I call it the CGI scene where he's running people over. There's a lot more people in that scene, but yet the crowd is very sparse in this scene. There's not all the people that there was in that first scene. Did they all simply run away or run home? I mean, I don't understand. You know, another thing we talked, there's so many aspects to this. We also don't have any cell phone footage. Now think about this, sir. We talked about this one the other day. I'm kind of dancing around a little bit, but if we were standing on the sidewalk watching this as an observer, okay, and we were, you know, there, don't you think that with all those people that we saw in that first initial video, don't you think we should have some good cell phone footage of the van coming and actually hitting people and people bouncing off of the front of that car or going under the car? How come we don't have any footage of that? I mean, all the way down that route, we have not one. Nobody had their camera running. Is that what they're saying? The only ones that had their camera running are this one that you're showing right here where the people look up the camera. That's, you know what I mean? It doesn't make any sense. This is all we're getting.
Well, Danny, of the actual event, I mean, people would have had their camera out to record the parade. And then,
and then
by circumstance, they wind up recording this massacre with a driver plows through. No one's going to stop recording if they're recording the parade. And, you know, you're going to if half were to quit out of shock, the other half would continue to record. You ought to have dozens and dozens of additional cell phone videos from the event. And to the best of my knowledge, we do not have them.
No, sir, there isn't any. And I find that very troubling. That we don't, you know, an example would be that other video you showed where it was kind of put together with all the different people that got hit by a car. You know, there's video around and you can see when somebody, what it looks like when somebody gets hit by a car. Unfortunately, I've been to scenes and seen people actually run over the hard way where they end up under the wheel or the tire. I sent you a video the other day of a police skirmish in Houston. where there was a shooting and a fight, and the suspect drove off, and the officer actually was halfway out of the car, pulled the suspect out of the car while it was rolling. Suspect got dragged under the car. The wheels actually went over his leg and snapped his leg. And he's laying in the ground, on the ground, the suspect. He's shot. His leg is bent backwards. There's blood all over the street. I mean, you know, that's what it looks like when somebody gets run over for real.
Yeah. Okay?
I mean, it's not a really good looking sight. You know, the suspect was alive. He couldn't move, and he was still conscious.
Damn.
But I mean, he was yelling in pain, you know, over his leg. Well, obviously he just got ran over by a huge car, you know, and he was being a knucklehead. He was trying to escape the police. But in either case, that is a typical, typical scene. But what we're seeing here, sir, it does not match up. The suspect's going 40 miles an hour. Then he breaks when he gets to that one block. Then the video cuts off right there. We can't see him go any further until we see the overhead video. How convenient. Why can't we see him continue into the crowd on that video?
Danny, let me make an additional point about the cell phone footage at Parkland. They had 3,500 students. Now, they let the students go early at 1 o'clock because it was a holiday, Valentine's Day. But there ought to have been a lot of footage from Parkland, and we don't have it for the very reason that they'd let the students go, which the public does not know. So there's another reason. You got the same maybe three dozen student crisis actors who appear in various footage. And, of course, David Hogg doing what's supposed to be his secret, you know, recording. Or David Hogg, after the March for Our Lives, which happened just weeks later, had to be planned 6 months in advance, what was falsely alleged to be inspired by Parkland, which is impossible. They had hundreds of product shirts, coffee mugs, the whole bit. They had major acts. In order to take control of the streets in Washington, D.C., you have to submit a permit application 180 days in advance, which would have been like back in October. But the fact is there, too, we don't have any cell phone footage. Now, Danny, I think we've done you have made excellent contributions here, but there's another case I want to talk about. This is the Aubrey trial. Murder trial verdict was based on facts and evidence, says the lead prosecutor, Linda Dunikowski. Ahmaud Aubrey's mother, today was a very good day. Wanda Cooper Jones, the mother of Ahmaud Aubrey, told CNN her prayers had been answered. Today was a very good day after three men were found guilty in her son's killing. Despite nearly all-white jury, prosecutors in murder trial felt the jury would make the right decision. The trial of three, and I add white men, for the death of Ahmaud Aubrey, a black man, was made up of 11 white people and one black person, but prosecutors told CNN they felt when the jury heard the evidence, they would find all three guilty. Here we have the McMichaels, who grabbed their guns and jumped in a pickup truck to pursue the 25-year-old black man after seeing him running in their neighborhood outside the Georgia port city of Brunswick in February of 2020. Brian joined the pursuit in his own pickup, recorded cell phone video of Travis McMichael fatally shooting Aubrey, which leaked online 2 months later. Though prosecutors did not argue racism motivated the killing, federal authorities have charged him with hate crimes, alleging they chased and killed Aubrey because he was black, a case that's destined to go to trial in February. Well, Danny, here's that footage up to the point where Aubrey is trying to grab the shotgun and gets blasted. We don't see that happen. But here, take a look at this. Driving down the road, looking for him. There he is, jogging along the street, which the others thought indicated he was trying to get away from the scene of a burglary. They thought they had the authority to perform a citizen's arrest. Here you have them rushing out. Here's the encounter. You don't see right now the shotgun. Then all of a sudden you see they're struggling over it. You won't see. There he is. He's got it pointed right at his stomach. It must have been quite a mess, Danny, quite a mess. I'm going to play that one more time so that everyone can see what happened here. Yeah, here's coming down the roadway. There he is, jogging. The other pickup truck is in advance. So they're going to cut him off. He's going to be blocked in, one pickup truck in front, one behind. Here you see he's jogging. The camera moves to the side, alas. But there you have the encounter. The encounter. Then he's trying to grab the shotgun. Not a good idea. Not a good idea. Danny, I want your thoughts about all the... Oh, I have one more to point out here. There's a statute. Gee, I meant to upload it for felony murder in Georgia. And Danny, I'd like you to, you know, I'm going to see if I can't find that, because we're talking about a very serious offense where I cannot see that this could possibly have been anything more than manslaughter. I mean, you know, certainly it cannot qualify as first degree. They obviously didn't set out to kill him. So I find the prosecution with those charges to be completely inappropriate. Your thoughts, Danny?
Well, this case to me, sir, is another psychological operation. So let me explain what I mean by that. You know, I've looked at this case, you know, I remember when it first happened. I'm very troubled by that video because the video, you know, it cuts off again. And, you know, where he was shot with a shotgun would have been, yeah, a massive, wouldn't even describe it. That range, depending on what kind of shells he had in the gun, did he get, you know, double odd buck, what you know, shotgun shells hold all kinds of different types of shells, you know what I mean, all kind of different size BBs, if you will. So it could have been, you know, anything, but it would have been really messy, and it would have been ugly. But here's what's really puzzling to me, sir, and just kind of looking at the case overall. You know, we got a black man that got caught in basically breaking and entering. He went into a construction site and he got caught. And he also got caught on video. Okay. So it's not only did he get caught by witnesses, we can see he's in the structure where he doesn't belong. He doesn't live in that neighborhood. Okay. And the narrative is that the black man just went to this strange neighborhood where he doesn't know anybody, doesn't have any friends, he doesn't live, and he's jogging. Really, where was this car? I'd like to know. But was he jogging in his work clothes and his work boots? He wasn't wearing jogging clothes. Okay, so he was obviously in the neighborhood by this video. It looked like he was casing out the house looking for something to steal. Okay, but they caught him. All right, they were going to hold him for the police. That's the narrative, right? Well, as I told you, he didn't want to wait for the police. So there's a fight for the shotgun because that's the part that was keeping him at bay when they caught him, all right? Now, what makes no sense is there's no way they could have pre-planned this. So there's no way you can come up with murder on this. There's no way. They didn't pre-plan to kill him. There was no thought ahead of time. As you said, it would be like manslaughter or involuntary manslaughter. It would be one of those charges. But here's the problem. When you hold somebody at gunpoint and they try to fight with you, because they don't want to wait for the police, okay? And you're telling them to stop, okay? Because they know he was running because he was committed a crime. That's why he was running away from them, okay? He wasn't jogging. He was running away from the scene of the crime. But when you try to take somebody's weapon, whether it's a handgun, shotgun, rifle, whatever it is, okay, you're trying to harm that person, all right? He was going to take that shotgun. In most cases, he's going to take your weapon. You never give up your gun. Okay, because they'll use it against you. The criminal will use it against you. So you're committed when you have a firearm. So he knew, you know, any normal person would know if you try to grab somebody's weapon, there's a chance that you might not get it and you could get shot. But what I don't understand is what was the guy supposed to do? If this was a real if this was a real thing and not an enacted or a fake kind of a thing that they put together, if this was real, did you really expect the guy with the shotgun just to hand it to the black guy and just say, here's my shotgun. Why don't you hold it till the police gets here? That way he can turn it on him and shoot all of them. I mean, yeah. What was he really supposed to do at that point? You know what I mean? The fact that the shotgun went off when they're fighting and the black guy got the worst of it, Well, what if during the struggle, the other guy would have got the worst of it? Now what? The black guy is going to claim self-defense? He took the shotgun away from him and he shot the white guy in self-defense as he was one away from a crime? I mean, this makes no sense. He had no alternative but to shoot him.
Danny, it makes less sense when you read the statute. Here it is. 2010 Georgia Code Title 16, Crimes and Offenses, Chapter 5, Crimes Against the Person, Article 1, Homicide. Paragraph 16, 5-1, Murder, Felony Murder, defined. A person commits the offense of murder when he unlawfully and with malice aforethought, either express or implied, causes the death of another human being. Express malice, that is deliberate intention, unlawfully to take the life of another human being, which is manifest by external circumstances capable of proof. Malice shall be implied when no considerable provocation appears and where all the circumstances of the killing show an abandoned and malignant heart. A person commits the offense of murder when in the commission of a felony causes the death of another human being irrespective of malice. And a person convicted of the offense of murder shall be punished by death, by imprisonment for life without parole, or by imprisonment for life. Now, I don't see where there was any malice aforethought expressed or implied. I don't see any deliberate intention. Danny, I think you're making all the key points. And when you look at the law, it appears all the more obvious that finding them guilty of felony murder and malice murder was wrong, that that's not justified by the circumstances of this case.
This to me, sir, I'll tell you what this looks like to me. This looks like a psychological event, if you want, psychological false flag. I don't see any blood. I'd like to see the whole video of him actually shot, because it would have been ugly. At that range, we would have seen tissue. We would have seen all kinds of carnage at that point. He would have fallen on the ground immediately. There'd be blood all over the place. It would be really, really ugly getting shot at that close range with a shotgun. We don't get to see any of that. Of course, it was edited out. But here's what I see, sir. I see a psychological message be given to the public, and I see some virtue signaling here. What I see is they're trying to tell the public that you will not stop a black man for any reason committing any sort of a crime. And if you do, and something happens, we're going to prosecute you. They're also signaling black people, black criminals, if you will, that you know what, you can do whatever you want and white people can't stop you with their guns. They can't stop you and hold you till the police get there. They're not allowed to do anything. This.
Danny, we'll be right back and we'll take your calls. Give the number when you get back from.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it, that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes, that Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
For those who'd like to call in, if we do have a caller standing by, 540-352-4452. Mitchell will get you on the air. Connect with me and Danny. 540-352-4452. Paul from California is here. Paul, join the conversation.
One of the best lines from earlier in the show, Jim Fetzer, I'm not infallible. I think Danny is exactly correct about this agenda. Many other people have noted this over time also, that they do indeed want to basically nullify white people, make us afraid of our own shadow. You know, we cannot touch the black man. I think that's an underlying theme to all of this. And as I mentioned in an email to you, this all fits perfectly in my mind. You know, you keep talking about the Democratic agenda, but I don't believe it's a Democratic agenda at all. It's a Jewish agenda. It's always been a Jewish agenda. And the thing that you have to keep in mind is just because you might not see it right away fitting the narrative doesn't mean it doesn't fit their narrative that you might not fully understand or grasp. Now, I know that Miles Mathis isn't gospel and he isn't always right. There's times I don't agree with some of his takes. But I have read multiple papers now where he's talked about a lot of this fakery is designed to move everyone to the right. And I think he's done a brilliant job of this, where they deliberately pick the most odious type of people you can imagine, whether it's a lot of these Democrats or Antifa, you know, the constant promoting and commercials. I just happened yesterday to watch a little bit of football. You know, I haven't done that in a while. I typically catch a game a while on the computer, but on some of these streaming channels, and in some cases you can avoid all the commercials. But I watch this on regular television, and I can't tell you, I just don't remember seeing so many fat, ugly, attractive, mixed race people in almost every commercial. And you never used to see that. I pointed it out to my friend. I said, why is it that they pick so many of these fat, ugly, unattractive people? It's just constant in your face all the time. So they're doing many, many things to us. And one of the things that they're doing is they're trying to destroy, as Mathis points out, this is not my original thinking, but I agree with it. They're trying to destroy the real idea of progressive or liberal. In other words, real progressives and real liberals would be opposed to everything that's taking place now. Real progressives and real liberals would be opposed to government power, to the military-industrial complex, to corporations running everything. And what they're trying to do, of course, is to associate the most unattractive, in many cases criminal people with this movement so that they drive everybody to the right. And the other thing that he said that they're doing, and I can agree with it, is they're trying to revive and animate this two-party, you know, duality where, you know, somebody thinks their party's good and the other party is bad, and then vice versa. So it's just a constant divide and conquer tactic. And I've already mentioned before, I don't buy either one of these events. I just don't think, I think the default position that everybody is safe in is it's fake until proven real. And I don't know how much more we need to see. You know, if they fake the moon landings, they can certainly fake Kenosha, and they can certainly fake Waukesha, or Waukesha, sorry.
Fascinating, fascinating, Paul. Listen, I've noticed this about advertising, that you used to have only very normal, well-developed, good physical shape, and now we're getting a whole lot of rather gross-looking people in the advertising, just as you observe. I think that's completely accurate. I'd like for you to give me a little précis, just a sketch of how each of these events fits what you're describing here. Because I've looked at the Rittenhouse thing is bona fide, though it appears that they were planning to attack him, the miscreants whom he shot. And I'm very interested in your take on how each of these three fits in, and then we'll bring back Danny. Your thoughts.
Well, I'm not exactly clear how the Rittenhouse narrative fits in, except to demonize, you know, a young white man with a gun. Okay, that's the only thing I can see taken away from it. I don't believe it for a second. You mentioned that he shot three white people. No, they were all Jews, every single one of them. I don't know if you got a look at Huber, but Huber looks like a young rabbi. His father looks like a caricature of the Happy Merchant. You know, everybody's seen that caricature of the Happy Merchant of the Jewish faith. That's what his father looks like. He himself looks like a young rabbi. Grosskreutz, you know, what's the story with this guy? He's everywhere. I mean, you could see him a year ago getting a DUI in Texas, right? Now he's up in Wisconsin. What do these people do? You know, this guy Rosenbaum, he's from Arizona, but he gets on a bus and he goes to Wisconsin. How does that work? He was let out of a mental hospital, supposedly. None of this stuff adds up. The guy's a perpetrator in the Waukesha event. Okay, he's out of Oakland, out of Reno, out of Wisconsin. I mean, what do they do for a living? How do they make money? I mean, when you and I travel, right, we plan ahead. Okay, these people just seem to go wherever they want. I think this is, as many people have suggested, a rotating small group of like a Jewish acting troupe. And they go around, they have basically unlimited money, and they hand out grants to local municipalities. I'm sure that they grease the palms of multiple people in Waukesha. In my opinion, what Ole Damegard said was correct one time when he said he's examined all these events and he's never found a hybrid. That doesn't mean they don't exist. But to me, I'm thinking, how does that work? How can you kill some people and have something real, but then you fake the rest of it? Why would it have to be faked at all? Obviously, it looks like that vehicle was inserted to me, especially the one shot where you see it driving away from the band in the street. So the band that supposedly just went through, and the band is marching in the street all in formation, and the vehicle's driving away from it. Right? How does that make sense? I think that it's pretty obvious what they did is they basically somehow, using whatever technology they have, CGI, they put the vehicle in these scenes, just like they put the planes in 9/11. I mean, it's no accident that every single shot of planes going into the Twin Towers were fake planes, because they all disappeared into the building, as you so well put, from nose to tail, going at the same frame per second speed as they were just traveling through the air, thereby implying that concrete steel buildings provide no more resistance than the air. So to me, the Waukesha event's pretty easy. They want white people pissed at blacks. Now, we have a lot of reason to be pissed at criminal blacks. We don't have a lot of reason to be pissed at decent law-abiding blacks. But there's a major, major criminal problem in this society. 97% of blacks are killed by other blacks, right? 2% of blacks are killed by 2% of blacks are killed by cops. 1% of blacks are killed by white people. Process that.
No, I know. Paul, you're making many, many excellent points. I think the Rittenhouse thing just backfired because he was so adept with his weapon. I mean, I'm very impressed with how he handled himself. But I could, and I'm not used to distinguishing between whites and Jews as you're doing here, but it may be that under the circumstances that has to be done. Danny, I want your thoughts on everything Paul's been describing here.
Yeah, sure. Well, I agree with some of the things that he said. So I just want to go back to the Aubrey case or whatever. You know, it seems like they're giving people, I see black people celebrating the fact that, you know, three white guys are going to go to jail or whatever. But I just want to talk about what you said about the law that shows that this is fake, sir. The struggle alone is fake, okay? There was three of them there. How come all three of them weren't in on the struggle? Only the guy with the shotgun. Where was the other two? I mean, I'm picturing if I was there, I would have grabbed and tackled the guy. I wouldn't have been afraid of him. I would have just tackled the guy. You know, something would have happened. I would have been involved. I wouldn't have just been standing in the back of the truck doing nothing. The second thing is the charges don't match, and you covered that. But, you know, how is it, sir, that – let me give you an example. Let's say if I'm going to use our caller, Paul, you and me, and we live in that neighborhood, okay, and I catch somebody breaking into a property, okay? And you being a spry gentleman, you run along down the street with me, Dr. Fetzer and Paul, and we catch up to them, okay? But I'm the one that pulls out the shotgun. Let's say I'm the one. You didn't even know I had a shotgun, okay? You just got in on the spur of the chase because you saw the crime, you know what's going on. I pull out the shotgun. I get into the struggle with the suspect. I shoot the suspect, okay? Why would you be charged for murder? Why would you be charged? You weren't in control of the weapon. It's not your weapon. You didn't have any control of me. You didn't plan this crime. You just responded. Same with Paul. Why would Paul, all of a sudden, if he ran out of his house to chase a criminal running down the street that just did some horrible crime, he didn't even know what the crime was. He's seen the guy running down the road. He joins in the chase. We're like, hey, we got to catch that guy. Stop that guy. So Paul helps out. I did the shooting. But because Paul just showed up and ran down the street with us, and I got into the fight, and I pull out the weapon, and I shoot the guy. You got to go to jail, and Paul goes to jail for murder? How do they come up with murder for you guys? How do they come up with any kind of a – what felony did you guys even commit in the first place? But yet all three of them are charged with murder when this is a manslaughter charge. So they screw it up. This is not a murder case. It's a self-defense case. I don't think it happened. The video was edited right at the shot because they don't want to see it, want us to see it, because there was no shot, because it would have been gory and we would have seen all the aftermath. Why can't we see the ambulance? We can't see all the stuff. This was I'm calling false flag on this, sir. I don't think it was real at all. It's a psychological operation to divide whites and blacks. They're also sending the message that you can't stop a black person when they're committing a crime. And if you do, we're going to prosecute you. We're back.
Right.
So, and then what Paul would say, and they can't, sir. I mean, I'm serious. If you take any action against a black criminal in the wrong state, they're going to prosecute you. I don't care if you catch them burning your damn house down. It doesn't matter. They're going to prosecute you if you use a weapon. It's just the way that the left is, especially if you're dealing with one of these Soros DAs. We've seen it over and over again. We saw in St. Louis the couple, the two lawyers that pulled out firearms. One guy had an AR-15, the man. The other girl had a handgun with her.
His wife.
They were pointing it at people to keep them away from their house. I didn't see any problem. They were in a gated community. They broke into the gated community. Right. They're yelling and screaming, cussing. So they're standing out there with their weapons, right? And now you got people standing around them trying to provoke them. And you got a DA that tried to prosecute them for that. How dare you come out and protect your property from screaming black people who are threatening to burn your house down?
And I want to just make a quick tag on point.
And tell the public, you know what, you can't protect your property. They can do whatever they want. How dare it? If you try to do anything to protect yourself, we're going to prosecute you.
Danny,
that's
I want to.
That came down to.
Yeah, I like your points. I want to go back to Paul. Go ahead, Paul.
So, and when you view the points that he's making in context with the overall agenda, with what they're doing, right? They're flooding this country as well as Europe with millions of blacks and Arabs, okay? So you look at it and you ask yourself, what is it that they're trying to do? And they've been doing it. And it's basically just to emasculate us, just to get us to stand down and be afraid to do anything, okay? In reality, 100 or 200 years ago, this would have all been met by force. No matter where these people came from, they would have been regarded as invaders. And they would have been shot or driven back or dragged back. But now we're just going to sit and take it. So this is it fits perfectly with what they're doing. Yes, it's to disempower and to emasculate us. And just a quick, note too of what I also thought of quite a while ago when we all watched the videos of Kyle Rittenhouse. So he just shot a guy and then he's taken off because now they're going to get him, right? That guy just shot a guy, so they're all chasing him, right? Let me ask you a question, all right? Are you going to go after a man with a rifle who just shot somebody, who showed his willingness to shoot somebody? Are you going to go after him with a skateboard? Or are you going to try to, like, jump kick him? Are you going to do all this? I'm not buying it. The bottom line is this. I'm sure there's a lot of these idiot Antifas that are absolute maniacs. I have no doubt about the fact that they actually exist, right? But it doesn't make any sense to me. You're going to go try to chase down and hit or take away a rifle from a guy who just used the rifle to shoot somebody else. No thanks. I'm not doing that. So the idea that three people or more would do this, it doesn't wash with me. I'm sure
I think they agree with that also. I think they had a script to take out Kyle to set an example, and it backfired. This is my take. Danny, I want you to join again on Paul's further thoughts about Kenosha.
Well, I also want to point out he pointed out that the neuro-linguistic programming on the TV commercials. I'm with Paul on that. I don't watch TV half the time anymore because every time I turn on the TV, there's a commercial. They're pushing some kind of agenda. You know, Black people make up 13%. Of the population, right? But yet they're taking up 60% of the commercials now. And
yeah,
than that. What he said earlier, they're always showing an unattractive Black female with a good-looking white man. And it's just programming. And I don't understand that either. I don't know why they're doing that. I've never seen it like this. I've been watching TV my whole life since I was a child. I've never seen this. So there's some kind of suggestive programming going there. I have plenty of Black friends that I talked to about that particular subject, and they all agree, and they don't really understand it either. It's very strange to them as well. They see what's going on. There's some kind of programming. But getting back to the Kyle thing, there's a lot of problems with the Kyle thing. Paul pointed it out. You know, it's a very strange situation how he got separated from the group. It's a very strange situation how they would attack a guy with an AR-15. Everybody knows that's a very serious weapon. And you're not going to go after a guy like that, you know, with a skateboard. You know, the other guy, the bald guy, what's his name? He's trying to chase him down. I just don't see it.
Rosenbaum,
whatever. And he's a felon. He's a short guy, too. He's not a big, you know, tall guy. He's not, to me, he's not really like an intimidating guy at all. I mean, he looked like he was about 5'5 or so. You know, he had a big mouth. But other than that, he didn't, you know, we're not talking about a guy that was over 6 foot tall. And he just wasn't intimidating to me. So I don't understand why a guy of his stature would go after a guy that was bigger than him, that was carrying an AR-15 that had body armor on. That doesn't make
sense. He did not have body armor on. He'd given it away.
I thought he had had a
rifle. No, he was not wearing body armor, Danny. He was not.
In that scene, okay, so he was not. But in either case, nobody's going to go after somebody with a rifle. That doesn't make any sense that you would do that. Okay. And there's just a lot of strange circumstances going on. It's a racial event. They're trying to divide, but I see them trying to divide us. I see the Aubrey case as a, you know, saying, hey, look, Black people, look, Black criminals. We're going to put three white guys in jail who tried to stop a Black man from committing a crime. The gun went off. They're all three of them are going to jail. When in reality, when you break it down, only really one of them would have been charged with the crime. That's the guy with the shotgun.
And it most certainly should not have been murder, felony murder, murder with malice. There was no malice there. That was inadvertent. I mean, it should at the max have been manslaughter. Paul, I want to go back to this advertising thing. Danny's expressing, you know, bewilderment over what's going on. It appears obviously to be intended to promote racial mixing, you know, but what else is, I mean, using these gross Black women, I don't get it either. Tell us, Paul, what's going on?
Well, I mean, I think it goes back to mockery, in my opinion, because I don't believe there's any commercial that's going to cause you to go out with a woman. I mean, the bottom line is people meet mostly by proximity. That's how most people end up getting together, is simple proximity. You know them from school, you work with them, a friend introduces you, that sort of thing. Nowadays with online stuff, it's probably a little different, but essentially, you know, there's no commercial that's going to make you say, you know what, I think I'm going to go and date outside my race. It's silly, but I think it is indeed a kind of a programming and in many ways a mockery, because you can't help but notice it. I watch TV all my life, right? And I used to enjoy it. I can't stand it anymore because the shows are hideous and then the commercials are insulting. And the bottom line is I don't want to see ugly non-white people in a commercial constantly. It offends me. Because when I grew up, all the commercials had pretty good-looking white people, and I'm sorry, I'm a little prejudiced, okay? I like good-looking white people. That's my thing. Call me names.
No, Paul, you're right. I mean, I've been perplexed by all these commercials. They're so unappealing, so unattractive. I thought, well, what are they trying to do? You know, just so put normal people in these videos, but they seem to make some very peculiar choices. I'm also interested in your suggestion. All these events are intended to move the country to the right. Could you expand upon that?
Well, you know, I can send you a couple of links of what Miles Mathis has said about it, but essentially they're trying to make us all more tolerant of a law and order militarized sort of a state. In other words, you know, they're going to move us closer to, you know, martial law, right? Because we're going to beg for it, right? They're burning down the cities. They're shoplifting. They're doing all these things. It's like a classic problem, reaction, solution. So when you read what he has written, and again, it's not my idea, but when I read it, probably it started about a year and a half ago. He's done several papers where he's mentioned it and one paper where he specifically hit upon the idea. That it seems pretty obvious. In other words, they're not going to throw all these odious people in your face unless it's to make you hate them, to make you dislike them, and then also to associate them with, you know, what used to be, like he always used to say, is that real liberalism and real progressivism is, in most cases, a pretty good idea for humanity and for society, okay? But not now. Now it's destructive. And of course, this is what these people do anyway. They destroy the social order. I mean, one of these shows, I could read like multiple quotes. We could take up a whole half hour or more of a show just reading quotes from many of these Jewish people from a long time ago. You know, there's a couple of quotes. One of them is Maurice Samuel. I don't know if that name rings a bell, but he said, essentially says, he wrote this in, I believe, 1928 or 1929. Yes, we Jews are destroyers, and we will always be destroyers. Because we want a world of our own. I mean, it's like, there it is. There's dozens of other quotes like that. It's out of their own, you know, mouths, right? Out of their own writing.
I certainly believe the Jewish Rothschild banking empire is behind the Great Reset. Klaus Schwab himself turns out to be a Rothschild. They control the mainstream media, which is overwhelmingly predominated by dual U.S. Israeli citizens. And of course, the Rothschilds own the AP and Reuters, so they're in the perfect position to manipulate us by what Alex Jones correctly identified as information warfare, info wars. I think he got that exactly right. Danny, your further thoughts about what Paul has been suggesting here.
Well, the neuro-linguistic programming I see all the time, and I'm kind of with Paul. I'm disgusted with it as well. I see, you know, I think to me it's a constant suggestion that good-looking white people ought to be, you know, in a some sort of a relationship with a black female. And I see it all over the place. I turn it off when I see it. Again, I told you I've had these conversations with black friends. I don't understand it. All the black women are unattractive, too. I mean, really unattractive. So they're putting it in our face. I don't know if it's to anger us or just to suggest, you know, people ought to be, that white people ought to start dating black people. I don't know what that's all about. Maybe they want to change the gene pool. I don't know what's behind their head by these suggestions, but I am really tired of it, and I turn it off, so I'm with Paul there. But I think this, the whole thing is a psychological operation, and it's to get us fighting. Again, the Aubrey thing is a reward to everybody. That, you know, they're showing, hey, telling black people, isn't it great? We're going to put three guys in jail for murder when it's only manslaughter. We're going to put two of them in there even though they didn't even commit a crime. Which is absolutely ridiculous, not even party to the crime, because they're not responsible for the shotgun. I like people to really think about that. You know, if your neighbor commits a crime and you're standing next to him, he pulls out a gun and shoots somebody, now you're going to jail because you happen to be standing there. That's complete bullshit. Sorry, sir, but that's the way that goes. And, you know, the Rittenhouse case is, you know, it was a riot. I think that whole thing was about self-defense. I don't have enough evidence yet to go down the path of calling the whole thing fake. But when I seen the green screen in the courtroom the other day, that really bothered me. There's some other aspects about this crime that bothered me. One of the things that bothered me, why didn't the judge in the prelim throw this whole thing out in self-defense? Why did he even allow it to go to trial? I mean, anybody could see it was self-defense in the first place. You're dealing with three felons, one guy with a gun, you know, and you can clearly see it's self-defense. It made no sense at all. They tried to charge him with a crime of shooting a guy that was pointing a gun at him. Why was that charge even in the trial? That one should have been thrown out. You can maybe argue the other two, the skateboard. But how can you even argue the skateboard? He was trying to take the guy's head off of the skateboard. So now you're just down to the other guy. So it makes no sense to me at all. And then we got this parade thing that we're covering. And I see CGI in this, sir. I see fakery. I see multiple takes. And I also see no ambulances, no paramedics, everything else. And I think that whole entire event was staged. I think it was shot on two different days or probably two different times. I don't think that one scene is on the same block as the CGI video. The CGI video doesn't make sense the more you look at it, because you don't see the bodies going over the hood to the side, to the right. The buildings are wrong. The position of the bodies are wrong. You don't see any blood or carnage. Then they try to tell us, oh, the suspect backed his car into the driveway, okay, with all the dents in it. The dents don't even match exactly what happened. It looks like he hit a moose. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. The front of the car has been wiped down. The chrome bumper is totally shiny, like he cleaned the car. And then the suspect walks down the street, Danny, to go flag somebody. That makes no sense to me at all, sir.
Danny.
None whatsoever.
Danny, I can't thank you enough. This has been another simply outstanding presentation. And Paul, listen, if this is not the best call you've ever made, it's certainly among the best. I want to thank you for persevering. I thought you made so many excellent points today, stuff I hadn't thought about or put into words, but really had been troubling me, especially about the advertising. There's something very strange going on there. So I'm just really tickled with all of this, having to take a closer look. I've been learning a lot here, and this has to have been one of the most interesting shows we've ever had the opportunity to present right here on Revolution Radio. Thank you all for joining us. We'll be back Wednesday with the event.
Hey, Jim, I got a quick tidbit for you. James Field is supposed to be human.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect, Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict.